I told him, but it wasn't my job. It's on the news, it's in the paper. What could they have been thinking of? I guess I'll never know why. I didn't mean nothing by it. Gave them the finger when they waved goodbye. And it's pretty tragic, pretty gory. And I knew them all personal like. I got the inside story. I'm gonna sell the rights. Cause
by God, I'm tired of walking. It's time to ride. There was a little message in there for some of you boys out there if you caught on to those words. Yeah. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker on Saturn's Day. Righto, Saturn's Day. And boy, did we have high winds and drifting snow yesterday all over the place. I'm watching right now on my monitor out here, and my neighbor's out there with his Bobcat or whatever you call those things with a scoop, and he's unscooping the drift snow out of the road out along in front of my house and his house. He's a good man, a good white man. He's out there having fun with his toy. I got a toy too, one of these little small push snow blowers. Heartland had them on sale for 60 some bucks. I said, I'll take a chance on that. And that little booger really throws the snow. I was amazed. It's electric. And you can go out there and on a sidewalk, it'd be no problem at all. And even in my parking lot, I can make walkways around through the drifted snow and a whole bit. So I think that was a pretty good deal, because most of those snow blowers, the bigger ones, they cost you $300, $400, $500, $600, and on up. Yeah, so something you might want to look into if you're, especially if you're in the urban area where you just got sidewalks and things like that. It would be super duper. Well, we're at box 401 as usual, and that's where all the donations come in. We're getting some new people now and then. Yeah, I think some of my preaching to the right wing and the left wing is making a dent, because we're getting contacted by some people I never heard of before, and getting a few small donations too, so things may be looking up here. But what's not looking up, at least for some people, is these people that get into jams. And I've experienced it for 35 years that these young people, and it's not their fault, their first introduction to race is either in the movies or some right-wing outfit in a chat board or something. And they're drawn to that, and these chat boards and these racial movies are very popular. But they give them the wrong information. they hype them all up, get them all excited, and then they go on out there and get into jams. And my problem is, by the time they get to me, the little old lonely Warsaw racial separatist here, they're already in trouble. Or maybe they've already been in prison or jail and this and that, and they're out, and they're coming back around the second time. So I try to help them if I can, because I submit to you, I have quite a bit of knowledge of the operations of the courts and attorneys. And the main thing I know about courts and the attorneys is they're all liars. Well, not all attorneys. I've got a couple of good buddies that are attorneys, and I know two or three high-ranking attorneys in Southern California that I like, that were straight shooters. But most are not like that. And the hardest thing to get across to these young people is the court is not a place you go to get justice. That's why you try to stay out of court. The court is an adversary proceeding, like two warriors in the arena in Rome in the old days, fighting it out. And the guy who can produce the most evidence and get the most witnesses and groom them to lie the most usually wins. And usually the guy with the most money wins. And, of course, if you're up against the DA or the state, they have inexhaustible funds that they can steal from you and the other taxpayers and then use it against you. And most of these attorneys, like I said before, they despise litigating and getting up before a jury. Scares the hell out of them. And all these court-appointed attorneys that, they're not all of them, but most of them, that get assigned to these people, immediately start working on them to make a deal. Plead out. And, of course, the DA makes it easy for him, because the DA will charge you with 7 or 8 or 9 offenses, even though he knows that most of them won't stick. But that's to scare. You're in the cell. You're in there in that little cell, and you got nobody much to talk to, and everything you hear is negative and on the other side. And the DA's coming at you, well, we got you on 7 counts or 6 counts or 5 counts. And I'll tell you what, son, if you'll plead to 1 or 2, we're going to make a deal with you. We love you. We like you so much. And so the inmate, he says, oh, shit, that if I can beat 7 charges, well, that's great. Well, that's a common practice of the DA when he's got a weak case. And many, many times, and a large percentage of the time, the DA has a weak case. But he don't want to lose the case, so he'll use plea bargaining. That's what plea bargaining is about. Everybody says, well, that helps the accused sometimes. Rarely. Because studies have shown for years, and I think I said this before, maybe in the last week, but I'm going to repeat it till I'm blue in the face, plea bargaining normally doesn't work for the defense. It works for the prosecution. Now, our boys out there, our friends, or whatever we want to call them, in Leith, now the one guy, Dutton, now he's pled guilty. He called me on the phone, and he's telling me right off, boy, I highly respect you. I followed everything you said. I think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you know how it goes on, blowing smoke up my butt. And I said, well, if that's the case, why didn't you listen to me when I gave you advice on how to handle this case? Well, blah, 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 and another excuse. And I said, well, don't you realize that you're going to be dumping on Craig Cobb? Oh, no. The DA said, all I have to do is tell the truth. I don't have to do anything else. Just tell the truth. And I said, silly boy, you don't have any idea how the DA operates. they'll get you on the stand and probably get your girlfriend on the stand, and they'll twist your words around till it sounds like you're saying that Craig Cobb is a homicidal maniac. And you won't have any choice but to answer the questions. Or you're liable to find yourself back in the jail cell. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I love Craig Cobb and all that, you know. And so I finally said, look, we have no more to talk about. I talked to your attorney. I sent you my advice based upon decades of familiarity with the courts, and you didn't follow my suggestion. Oh, no, my attorney said, I said, your attorney wants to get out of this and get on to something else. He definitely doesn't want to get you kicked free as being found innocent, even though he'll tell you that because, well, now he can tell all his friends, well, I didn't really like the guy, son of a bitch, terrorist, but at least I got him to plead guilty on, one or two counts, man, and he'll be on probation for the next 2 or 3 or 5 years. So, anyhow, now it's going to be interesting whether Craig Cobb holds his mud. Because he's been given the same advice. Don't have a jury trial. Get a trial with a judge. Because the judge, it's always a gamble in this kind of stuff. But the judge don't want to be overturned by a higher court. If this is appealed. I mean, if Craig Cobb gets 20 years, Jesus. You're gonna have to appeal. And you're going to have to get some really good legal representation. And lower court judges don't like to be overturned because it goes onto their record and it affects their advancement up the line of judges. Say he wants to become an appeals judge himself. Or maybe he wants to be, or even if he wants to run for governor or something, to have the mark on your record that you screwed up and you were wrong in this trial here is not what they want. So that's the one thing that going to the judge you have in your favor. Plus, surprisingly, there's a lot of judges that have a lot more common sense than people give them credit for. But juries are a wild card. And I think the farther you get out in the sticks, the wilder that card is. You see what happened with a Negro boy out there in California. You know, I can't even remember his name. A.J. Simpson. Simpson, yeah. Well, he his attorneys were smart as hell. He was going to be tried down in West L.A., well, West L.A. is at least 80%, 90% white. And his attorneys knew he was going to get the death penalty down there. So they finagled to get the damn trial downtown to where they could shop around and get their own jury of mostly black people. And they let him go. And, of course, he's typical stupid nigger that gets too much money in his pocket too early, and everybody says he's wonderful, he thinks he's Superman, so he goes right out in Las Vegas and commits the crimes all over again, and now he just had an appeal to try to get out, and the Nevada judge, when he went up to Nevada, he got one of those Nevada judges, I knew he was cooked, and I knew he was cooked on the appeal, too. He's going to do the time, man. He is going to do the time. Your attorney's always going to say, oh, don't listen to that Metzger. He'll just get you in a jam. He don't know what he's talking about. He's not an attorney. He can't practice law. He don't know nothing. And, of course, there's a lot of other people like me that have been down the road around, too, especially tax rebels. And they know how the system works, too. But people, they get you in there, and they get you in that cell. They get you scared. They keep you from, you know, maybe you're in solitary confinement and you're scared, and so most of you end up making a deal. then the deal is not a good one. It's not good. So I took some criticism for my support there of Dutton after I learned a few more facts about his background. And I'm not apologizing for it. I guess you could say I was wrong, that I tried to help the guy. So anyhow, and the people who are criticizing me don't know the facts of the case from my point of view and things that I was doing behind the scenes either. So anyhow, that's showbiz. I'm taken to the woodshed all the time, if not by the right wing, by the left wing, by the middle, you name it. Well, Matt Hale says, I got a letter yesterday. I don't know. He said this is December 20th. That's quite a ways back. Dear Tom, thanks for sending me the Antebellum book as well as the explanatory information on the author Hinton Rowan Helper. I also received two donations of $25 that our Nevada boy sent through me. I received the Searchlight material too yesterday. And that Searchlight material is the Southern Poverty Law Center of Britain, which you can find out from time to time quite a bit of information off your enemy if you just listen to him closely and read between the lines. Well, anyhow, I sent off $50 to Matt Hale yesterday, courtesy of our supporters, so I think that'll make him happy. Yeah. But I sent it through his mother now, so I don't have to go through the rigmarole of sending it to the federal government. Well, getting back to this giving advice to people and commenting on some of this stuff, I think I'm going to try to just keep my mouth shut on some of this stuff because it doesn't do me any good. It seems like I piss everybody off, no matter what I do. And now, there's a big expose was sent to me about Dr. Pierce, National Alliance. And I know some of the people involved with that. In fact, I know quite a bit about the whole thing. But I'm not going to comment on it. Because if I say, well, there's a lot of truth to this, a bunch of the right-wingers are going to attack me. Metzger's attacking Pierce, you know. And if I say, well, there's not much of this that's true or valuable, the other side going to jump all over me. Because National Alliance, it looks like they're split in about three camps now. Yeah, one camp being the Glebe camp, and the other camp being the, I forget the names of the other guys, and then there's a third camp on the scene. So walking into that is like walking into a damn electric fan. And what makes a difference anymore, or what Dr. Pierce did in his own personal life, that's, I don't care. But some people that I think have glass houses and had better take it easy, because there's nobody in the right that doesn't live in a glass house. Nobody. One way I get in trouble quite a bit is I know where all the skeletons are, a lot more than anybody knows. But if I bring everything out, well, then the whole right wing goes through this. Oh, God, Metzger, he's lying. You don't know what he's talking about. Ooh. And so it doesn't pay to do it, because I don't care about the right wing. I want the right wing to disappear. These people who are part Christ insanity, they're part right wing conservative, they're part this and that, they're part military worship, they're part Hitler worship, and they're all mixed up. And trying to debate those kind of people, it doesn't go anywhere. And it's the same way in the progressive. I've experimented around with a few of their sites, attempting to make some dialogue. And they're just as wacko as the right. they call you names before you even get a word out of your mouth. I mean, you know. So, I guess it's just one of those things that comes with the territory. I think we're going to have to go into another generation at least to get out of this conservative right-wing stuff to where we are forced into a covert guerrilla mentality that's not left or right, but plain guerrilla mentality and action, to where we're forced into a situation of forgetting all that, and hopefully a whole new generation of young people can come on the scene like Joe Tomasi did back in the old days, that breaks the mold and goes on to something else. But as long as we've got massive chat boards and all this shit in the right wing, and anybody can say whatever they want, and they can lie, they can cheat, they could be cops, they could be feds, it pollutes the minds of these young white people to the point where they're almost lost before they get started. So we need another generation to really get this game going, because by then it's going to be kill or be killed.
Okay.
We're in a heap of trouble, my friend.
No.
Yeah, just a heap of it. You know, I would say, as I was mentioning on Bob's show earlier, that probably something along the lines of half of the atoms that compose our bodies, besides the water part, are made up of stuff that comes from California. You know, stuff that grew there. And, with the drought that they're experiencing now, on the one hand, there may be a slight saving grace to that. They're not getting much water to grow the atoms that compose themselves into food that we then consume across the nation, on the one hand. Because I don't know if you've been paying attention to the reports coming from Radcast. They've been being broadcast daily as practically weather segments on Tom Hartman's show. And I have been following information about the levels of radioactivity generally present in our environment since before Fukushima, bought a Geiger counter myself immediately.
You bought a Geiger counter?
I did buy a Geiger counter, and I'm one of a whole network of people who has done so.
Uh-huh.
And I've been following the report levels that have been coming from about 100 stations in North America for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and it's getting bad.
And they've been hovering in the 20s and 30s for the most part. 30s even looked a little high year ago. Gosh, this last week we had a whole bunch of stations reporting well north of 100 up into the near 200 range, okay?
Where?
Meanwhile, Fukushima, the laws have been passed in Japan to prevent most of the news of what's going on there from coming out.
Yeah.
And so the only way we're getting it, it looks like at this point, is by literally watching the readings that come off of our own counters.
Uh-huh.
Mike, they've gone from 20, 30 or so per minute up to normal now is looking like 80, 90.
I don't know what those numbers mean at all, Roger. I mean, what's
radioactive decay?
No. What's considered an okay number? 3,000? What?
Well, prior to the nuclear tests of the 50s and 60s, it's likely that the typical radioactivity, unless you were in a basement contaminated with radon, would have been in the order of 3 to 5 counts per minute.
Uh-huh.
That went up to 18 or so for very, very many years. It was higher for a while in the early 60s.
Right.
50s.
Right.
Now it has been trending upwards, and this last week we had waves of 150 and 200.
Uh-huh.
And
200?
Yep, and in fact...
Katie barred the door! What the hell are we going to do? No, I'm not trying to make light of this. It's just that...
I don't know what the hell we're going to do, Mike.
You can't escape radioactivity, can you, unless you want to walk around in a lead suit or something?
Well, the trouble is that the real bottom line is that most of the troublesome aspect of this is the fact that radioactive substances are bioaccumulative and then proceed to emit their radiation from inside of your body.
Uh-huh. So we become radioactive.
Right. And so what causes most leukemias and lymphomas?
Yeah.
So it's not so much a matter of being exposed to ambient radioactivity as opposed to being composed of radioactive substances.
Oh, Jesus, God, that's kind of like Aliens movie. You remember the things that were, you know, inside the... No, I get what you're saying.
Well, then the question really... partly what I'm wanting to highlight here is the fact that we're being cut off from information.
Hey, Roger, I agree with you, and I understand about these blackouts.
Well, there's a lot of information floating around on this radiation thing, but I think we ought to keep our ear on it, eye on it, something. What we can do about it, I don't know. We've got so much of that stuff in the ground around this country that it's enough to screw up the whole waterways and everything else. I mean, it's here in Indiana, they dumped large amounts of this depleted uranium, and they're still using it at all these military bases like Camp Pendleton and 29 Palms in California. They're still using this depleted uranium ammunition, and it's going right into the ground and eventually down to the water table. So, and it's all over the country. And it's already happened, so I don't know. You figure it out, boys and girls. Do we have a loyal government that's loyal to the people? Or do we have a government that's totally disloyal to the people and a treasonous government and a criminal government like the Bush crime family? Here's a little bit of comment I picked up off Black Radio the other night. Yeah, Tommy sometimes listens to the Urban Channel on XM, which is Black Radio. You'd be surprised how much information you can get off of there.
All of you as you go along. Look, let's understand. There was never a time. You know, Skip Gates, or Professor Gates, has said this many times on our show. There's never a time we all stuck together. That's not true. So let's not even go there, okay? Let's not go there. There never was a time we all stuck together. If that was the case, we wouldn't have had to worry about slavery. We would have stuck together on the continent of Africa. There were black folk who owned slaves. There were black people who said, well, boss, I don't know what we're going to do without, I ain't got no place to live. And they went right back to the plantation. We've never stuck together. So don't give me this. I saw a couple of DVDs, and back then, black folks stuck together. Come on, man. Let's not romanticize the stuff, okay? Next call.
Well, they've got a channel that's growing into a network, this Urban Radio on XM. And it's spreading around the place. And, of course, they call it, this one show, Blackonomics. And trying to get their people to empower each other and all that kind of stuff. And whether you like it or not, this is all aimed at you, the white working class, whether you believe it or not. And, they, of course, they'll deny it. They just want their rights, man. So, anyhow, the guy goes down, and he's going to go to Bermuda. And meet up with some fellow blacks down there. And they're starting black radio station down there, and this thing is growing around pretty good. And it was interesting that his buddy met him at the airport in a limo, and evidently this black somehow had got into the transportation business, and he was bragging about all these Cadillac Escalades and all these Lincoln limos and all that kind of stuff that he had in his deal now. And they were going on and about, now we're on our way. Black people are on their way. In fact, they got a law changed down in Bermuda. It used to be Christopher Columbus Day. No more. They're not going to have that white shit. It's going to be Heroes Day. And guess who the heroes are going to be? You guessed it. All black. And so... but that's not such a big deal, I don't think. But the big deal is that they're starting lawsuits out of Bermuda and so forth against the British government to get reparations for slavery. Now, a lot of people laugh about this kind of stuff, but it's serious. They've been working on it here for years, and I knew the main guy that was working on that stuff, who used to be the darling of the conservatives because he would say things about the Democrats and about people that the Republicans didn't like, and so they used to bring him in like a little toady, and they'd get all thrilled when he gave a speech. I don't remember his name anymore, but I met him a couple of times. In fact, I appeared on a national TV show on the same show with him. They're working on this reparations thing, and they're going here again. They're filing these suits against the British government. You know what's going to happen. That British government is so judified and whatever. They're going to cave in, and they'll be robbing more money out of the working class, the white working class, and others in England to give these blacks. Now I got to thinking about this guy and all his modern transportation. I said, you know, I never heard of a black man inventing an automobile. I never heard of a black man doing anything other than putting wheels on an Escalade. I never heard of a black man inventing a radio or DVD or security equipment that goes into these cars and everything. I never heard of a black man really building a highway system like they have in Bermuda and other places all over the country. I never heard of a black man, or if there were, there weren't many of them, that built high-rise hotels in Bermuda. That's all white genius that's done that. But yet they come at it like that's part of their racial thing. Like they're taking credit for something they never had anything to do with, and now they want to get reparations for slavery. I don't think they're going to find one surviving slave around, but if they do, I think that particular slave should be given money. But otherwise, forget it. But anyhow, somebody's funding, and there's some black millionaires, and I guess there's a black billionaire around too, that are helping fund these black radio shows and TV shows and networks and the whole bit. And so, watch it. They're coming at you, and it's not to do you any good. Not to build your white working class up. Obviously, of course, they should work for their best interests. Even if they lie and cheat and rob and steal, they can say, well, that's for my race. Okay. I guess we missed the point that maybe we should be robbing and stealing to lying to support our race. Of course, I put that mostly in the lap of the predatory capitalist whites that will do anything. But there's a lot of blacks learned that message too. There are a lot of blacks are practicing the same kind of corruption that we've had from whites over the years and the Jews. So anyhow, I'd let you know that you watch the press. Gradually, that's going to be in the press about these Bermudans and down there. They're getting this big lawsuit against the British government for reparations. And then, once it starts over there, and if they get any traction on it, they're going to revive the same thing back here like they had, oh, I don't know, it was 10 or 15 years ago. They got talking big about reparations. But Christopher Columbus, you're out of here. It's Black Heroes Day now down in Bermuda.
My God!
It's Blackonomics.
This is the global situation all around the world. We're live in the Bahamas from the GEMS radio network, more specifically the GEMS New Media Network, here with the owner and operator, Ms. Debbie Bartlett. We're having an interesting conversation about wealth. And before we even jump into this, let me let you guys know, the listeners know, we're expanding the Empowerment Radio Network. We're here on business in the Bahamas to hook up the codec, which is the actual communication system between the United States and the Bahamas, which Ms. Bev, you'll be able to hear Ms. Bev in the Bahamas. But the owner of the station that we're going to be syndicating through, we're going to be pulling her show from the Bahamas to the States, so you guys will be able to hear what she has to say on a daily basis.
So this is all about what each of us are doing individually on in our own personal lives. Now, as it relates to economics, it is real clear. It is very simple. A, success runs in our race. Make no mistake about that. We're a $723 billion annual economy. If we were a nation, we would be the 11th richest nation in the entire world. Okay? But we know that we have taken the art of consumption to a whole new level. We know that less than 5% of our economy is recycled back in our community. Alright? So we have to fix that.
Wake up.
We fix that.
Wake up.
Wake up!
Blackonomics.
Yes, your boy D. We're talking about this entrepreneurship thing, but some amazing things are happening. Monday is they're going to be celebrating Christopher Columbus Day, but you guys don't call it Christopher Columbus Day. You call it Heroes Day, man. Tell me the history on that.
Well, it's basically official, man. Our government came through, renamed Columbus Day to Heroes Day. And Heroes Day is just, what we turn around and give props to our prominent folks of society that actually came through and do it big for us. You know, we're just remembering the guys that changed history, and we're just giving them a day for us to remember it and celebrate it.
This is it. This is James. No, this is Joy FM. We're at the wrong spot, but that's cool. The joint that's crazy is that they're not celebrating Columbus Day. Columbus Day is, it's like some foolishness down here. So they changed it to Heroes Day. So we got to give you some more information on what Heroes Day really is about. Heroes Day is about celebration of the black leaders here in the Bahamas. A lot of times, because the Bahamas was under British rule, you know, they celebrate the Christopher Columbus, drive on the left side of the street, all that type of thing. But now, you know, the Bahamas is waking up. There's a whole sense of waking up here in the Bahamas. And as the brothers and sisters in the Bahamas are waking up, things are starting to change. And I think that this National Heroes Day being established is one of the first things that we can see in the change in this awakening of the mind state. I just read to you a quick article from the Tribune staff reporter. A new public holiday was formally established yesterday, and for the first time, this coming Monday, will officially be recognized as National Heroes Day. So this Monday, for the first time, yesterday, and for the first time, this coming Monday, will officially be recognized as National Heroes Day. So this Monday, for the first time, will be the first time ever in history that black folks have said, we're not celebrating this Christopher Columbus foolishness.
No more white man in tights.
What you say, man?
No more white man in tights.
No more white man in a tight skirt. Rum, bum, bum.
it replaces Discovery Day, which celebrated the arrival of Christopher Columbus to the Bahamas. So we're in the States getting ready to eat chicken and pork and be jumping up and down, riding the float, going shopping, going to the mall, supporting the machine. Americans, that's what y'all getting ready to do on Monday. We're in the Bahamas and CARICOM, which is like the equivalent to the United Nations for the U.S. and all that stuff. CARICOM, which are all the Caribbean nations, are getting together and they saying, man, we refute that. And we're celebrating our own day called Heroes Day. The new holiday was formally established yesterday with the signing of the National Heroes Act in 2007. The act will allow for the formal selection and recognition of the country's national heroes. Governor General Radio Station, on the front of the cover of the paper of the Tribune, it's a Saturday and Sunday edition, it says the Bahamas suing UK over slavery. Now, you heard about this story on the Warren Valentine show. I'm sure Ms. Bev's going to go all the way in on it. We're getting it to you first as it's being rolled out straight from the Bahamas, Nassau, Bahamas. There's the sick red and white, means radio tower. CARICOM nations could get billions in reparations. Now, before we get into this, how is it that the black people in the United States, y'all got Jesse Jackson and Martin Luther the King and all this stuff going on in terms about we shall overcome. How is it that the black American is going to celebrate Christopher Columbus eating chicken and the brothers and sisters in the Bahamas and in the Caribbean have organized, CARICOM has organized, and they've laid suit to sue over slavery in the UK. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is unbelievable information, and I can't believe that this is happening. We have to be a part of this. We have to be a part of this. I'm going to get you guys some more information as it relates to this suing.
I'm sorry, that was Bahamas, not Bermuda. But anyhow, you get the point. And now they're going to start stoking it up here again for reparations. If they get any traction with a suit against England, get ready. It's coming back again. And you know the rich are not going to be paying this. No, the rich don't care who's around as long as they control the money. So the white working class of England and the United States, we're the so-called deep pockets. But I don't think there's much in the pockets anymore. So anyhow, that's our trip down Nigger Lane. Yeah. And I heard a long discussion, too, the other day. Maybe it was last night. I don't know. I get my days mixed up. That how whites are using so many code words instead of nigger. And it's true. You know, a lot of stuff they say on there is true. The whites have been, the cowardly, hypocrite whites have been very clever in developing a whole new genre of anti-black labels. And they get away with it while saying that if somebody's honest and just says nigger or negro, they're horrible and should be outcast from the white race, or at least from that section of the white race. They had it in football here last week, I guess it was last week, where there was a problem on a court or on the field, that some football player gave hell to this white interviewer, girl. He really went over the top. And they got into a long discussion, who's racist, who's not. But they brought out that they're in about 200 sports magazines, they use the term thug. So they were saying, and this is why you're saying, now thug is the new nigger. I guess N-word sort of passing away. So they come up with terms like, he's a thug. And so, anyhow, a whole new genre of names and to be referred to the blacks. And, of course, welfare queens, and that's been around a long time. And, you know, busing. And yeah, I just say we got too many crimes around here. Just change the word from African American to crime. Chicago's got too many crimes. Now, that's my way of saying too many niggers. Maybe that'll catch on, because that's true. That is really true. Well, I don't know who this guy is over in England. Nigel Farage, F-A-R-A-G-E. He calls for a 5-year immigration ban. Oh, a little bit too late. The horse is already gone, man. Nigel Farage has called for a 5-year halt to immigration by people who want to settle permanently in the U.K. Well, what about temporarily? The UKIP leader, UKIP, I guess he's a political person, said that he wanted to see immigration levels fall and an end to the open-door policy for Bulgarians and Romanians, even if it had an impact on British economy. Well, what about these people from the Caribbean, these Negroes? What about all them pouring in from all over the place? It's interesting that there are some whites in Bulgaria, that's for sure, and there's whites in Romania. So it looks like he may be closing the door for some of the whites in Eastern Europe, but opening the door for more and more Commonwealth Negroes. His comments came as a survey revealed that more than 3/4 of the people want to see cut in immigration. I don't care what you want. They don't care what you want. We have these polls all the time where it's 2/3, 3/4, 90% of the people want this and that. Doesn't make a bit of difference. They don't care. You're just a stupid working person. You don't know anything. You're not an intellectual. Mr. Farage told the BBC Radio 4 Today program, quote, if you said to me, would you want to see over the next 10 years a further 5 million people come into Britain? And if that happened, we would all be slightly richer. I would say, actually, do you know what? I would rather we weren't slightly richer and would rather we had communities that felt more united. There's a code word, communities that felt more united. And I would rather have a situation where young, unemployed British people, more code words, had a realistic chance of getting a job. Quote, so yes, I do think the social side of this matters more than pure market economics, unquote. Racial talk. He continued, let's be flexible on work permits. Let's recognize that we do have some skill shortages in the British economy, which is very much a failure of our education system. Well, you had plenty of time to keep your education top level. They don't want that. The predatory capitalists don't want to hire British people. They want to educate people in other countries, third world countries, and then bring them into England because they'll work cheap. It's all about money. Follow money, boys. Quote, but in terms of immigration, in terms of people coming to settle, I would suggest that for up to a 5-year period, we don't have people coming to settle until we sort out the mess. You're not going to sort out the mess without an armed civil war. There's not going to be any settling. These people are in there now by the billions, and they're all breeding and breeding and breeding. Pakistanis and Indians and all these people breeding their ass off. And until we sort this mess out, right? Yeah, right. Like there's any white leaders anymore with the balls to do it. I mean, it'd be mass deportation. That's the only thing that could solve Britain's problem. I mean, forced deportation. A BBC 2 documentary, The Truth About Immigration, to be shown tonight. I bet that'll be wonderful. Will reveal that more than 3/4 of the British public want to see immigration levels slashed. Okay, they've wanted that ever since Enoch Powell said the right thing way back. And there were guys before him. The findings come nearly a week after restrictions on migrants from Romania and Bulgaria were lifted. Well, I don't think there should be open borders to anybody nowadays. All the Western countries are being flooded with too much population, overpopulation. And Britain is really in the... Oh, man. However, the British Social Attitude Survey found that slightly fewer people now think immigration is bad for the economy. Well, it's... wait a minute. How about the white economy? 47% in 2013 compared to 52% 2 years ago. Screw the economy. If I could clean, you know, if you could clean the country up and return it to white rule and white people, it'd be worth eating less and driving your car less and the whole bit. Penny Young, chief executive at NatSen Social Research, which carried out the poll, I never trust those polls at all, said the survey showed that the public desire for a cut in immigration to the UK had begun to rise even before the restrictions on migrants from Romania and Bulgaria were lifted at the start of the year. But what about the niggers? What about the ragheads? What about the Pakis? What about the Mideastern people? What about the chinks? They don't say anything about that. They want to make a big deal out of the Romanians and Bulgarians. Well, it should seal the borders, and that's it. Nobody comes in. That's the only thing. And then start repatriating people. Not repatriating. Kick their ass out. Repatriating. I get sick of those 50-cent words. She added, the public broadly agrees that immigration is too high. Oh, yeah, right. I can't get a house. I can't rent a house. I can't get a job because there's 10 darkies standing in the line before me. And the laws are fixed to give them the job first. Oh, yeah. You think we got a problem here, Clyde? The research shows 54% of the respondents who see immigration as good for the economy. Yeah, that is fixed. That is fixed. I could believe that maybe 10 or 20% of the people at the top believe that, but I can't believe 54% of the respondents believe that. And they also see it as culturally beneficial also. They want to see immigration reduced. Well, you know, now there's so many non-whites in Britain, they're naturally going to say, we want more of them to come in. Well, hell yes. We deserve to have the whole goddamn country, you white bastards. The survey also reveals divisions among political party supporters. Some 52% of the conservatives believe that Britain's cultural life is undermined by immigration. But who laid the doors open for the immigration in the first place to get cheap labor? It was the very conservatives. And shipped their factories out of England like we did out of the United States. That's the conservatives. Compared with 40% of conservative supporters and 20% of liberal Democrat voters. If the documentary, former labor ministers reflect on their decision to open the doors to workers from Eastern Europe in 2004, when Poland and seven other countries joined the EU. And that EU, it sounded like a good deal in the beginning. Something like Hitler was trying to do, only went about it a little the wrong way. But what if Hitler had been able to bring all those countries together? He'd have the same problem. He couldn't have kept an Aryan Germany or anything like that. So the EU turned out to be just nothing but a Jew, fat cat, predatory capitalist plaything to control the masses. Jack Straw, foreign secretary, I remember his ass, from 2001 to 2006, said, the predictions were completely catastrophic. I mean, they were wrong by a factor of 10 on immigration. It was bluntly a nightmare, and it got more and more difficult. As I recall, he was on the left side. We did get it wrong, and I deeply regret it. No, you don't. You're living fine. You live in your townhouse. You live in your country house. Mr. Straw, you're a lying son of a bitch. You were a lying son of a bitch before, and you're a lying son of a bitch now. I regret it because it undermines trust in government. Trust in government? You don't have government. You have organized crime run by the city of London, the bank. And the only thing England is for now is just sort of a stopping over place for the fat cats that they can run away from the occupied countries where everybody's killing everybody and they can get a little respite there in England, you know. But England will turn into the Middle East sooner or later. No problem there. Nigel Farage told the documentary that he believed that a fear of being labeled as a racist has stifled the debate on immigration. No shit, Sherlock. Of course it has. Cowardly whites that won't stand up and say, yeah, I'm a racist. I'm proud to be a racist. Tell me I'm a racist. Call me a racist. Keep repeating that. It makes me feel so goddamn good. He said they tried to rubbish us. They tried to say that anybody that dared to talk about this subject was necessarily a bad person and a racist. Well, call me a bad person and a racist all you want. Makes me feel good. Meanwhile, the mayor of London, Boris Johnson, said this morning that the prime minister was completely right to stop immigrants claiming benefits for the first 3 months after they arrived in England. Yeah, but this is all Band-Aid shit. This is all Band-Aid shit. He said, if you want to come and work here, you can do that, but there should be a period before which you can claim all benefits, and it seems entirely reasonable to me that they should extend that to 2 years. Well, what do you need people coming from all over the place to work in England? Put your own people back to work. And start breeding white families, more white kids. Put your own people back to work. You don't need anybody coming into Britain. Why should British taxpayers be paying the child benefit of people who may be working in Britain, but whose children are living in Poland? Just close the immigration. Close it off. You got too many people over there now, and put our white people back to work. Put our white people back to work. So that's what I've got to say about what's going on right now in jolly old England. Should be thousands of people storming the City of London banking institution and burning the son of a bitch to the ground. I forgot to mention that that Dutton character pled guilty to 7 counts. And because the DA shrewdly dropped him to misdemeanors, he went for it. Pled guilty to 7 counts. They weren't guilty of anything. Shit. Well, I see one of the fairly well-known subjects of the right wing, racial cause, has announced he's forming a new political party. That's all we need, another political party. No comment. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. I'll be back with you Moonsday. Yeah, Moonsday. So anyhow, you have a good weekend, and try not to get too cold. And remember, 14-5, and please don't listen to anything I tell you about the law or legal stuff, because it'll never help you out. You'll never follow it anyhow.
I don't mind the thought of growing old, but I don't want to lose my sense of humor. I'm okay as long as I can laugh. I don't care if everything goes wrong, even if it's only for a while. I'm alright if I can see you smile. You're an old-fashioned girl. At home in the modern guess I'm losing touch. As long as I can feel you close to me, I'll know I am where I'm supposed to be. You're an old-fashioned girl. I don't think that I'm afraid to die.